I lived in Grays Lake, and I have sold and moved out of the state.
Billy V is a union employee. He left Illinois because he couldn't afford to pay $9,000 a year in property taxes on his $200,000 townhome in Grays Lake. Tony S.'s home in Park Ridge is being liquidated by the government to pay for someone else's pension.
I'm paying between $13,000 and $14,000 a year in property taxes, which is insane. I can't save for my retirement. They're basically stealing my equity from me.
Rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, you will not be spared the financial disaster the highest property taxes in the nation inflict. The good news is there's a group of independent candidates who aren't financed by Madigan or Rauner. They're working people taking up our fight to lower your property taxes. They made a life in Illinois, and the hell if they're going to let politicians take it away. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org for information on the candidates leading the revolt. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org to hear your neighbor's stories and share your own. SaveYourHomeNow.org isn't just a website. It's a battle cry.
Liberty Principles paid for this ad and is solely responsible for its content, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
And we're here.
Where are we, Grandpa?
Alamo Shoes. I noticed your shoes are a little tight. They have hard-to-fit shoe sizes and the nicest people to find just the right pair.
Alamo Shoes?
Yeah, this place brings back memories. I used to take your dad here when he was a kid for his shoes. In fact, your dad still comes here.
Alamo Shoes. The most comfortable shoes on earth have been found here for the past 50 years. They're family-owned and will treat you like family, too. Find Alamo Shoes at 5321 North Clark, and there is always free parking.
The award-winning Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy is now offering their all-new mobile app. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and search Bolingbrook Golf Club. You'll have access to a mobile scorecard, GPS, or book tee times. Fall is a great time to tee it up. Make your plans to join them for the Senior Better Ball on October 1st and the Fall Scramble on October 20th. For more information and tee times, visit bolingbrookgolfclub.com or visit teeoff.com. The Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy. Come be impressed.
TL and Doc Fisher.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a Honda CRV? Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental difference.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
A swing and a fly ball, shallow center, racing in Almora. Going out, Baez. Baez makes the catch. Baez ran about 150 feet into medium deep center field. The shortstop made a running catch.
Middays on The Score.
He is a story. He is a force of nature this year for the best team in the National League. And this season, he has been their most productive and certainly their most telegenic, compelling player, and that's why he was the subject of a story written by Matthew Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus, who's on Twitter at M.A. Trueblood and now on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
What compelled you to look up what he's doing in Baez and how he's doing it, especially how you were able to notice the changes in his swing? Did you notice it first and then want to write about it, or did you say, look, let's take a look at this, and then you realized what you were seeing?
No, I've been noticing it for most of the season, I think. It's to just sort of a, you know, casual fan's eye, it's a fairly small change. But if you're someone who watches hitters frequently and really breaks down the way they do what they do, it's a pretty easy thing to see. The adjustment that Javi's made has, it's early in his swing and it doesn't necessarily follow all the way through everything he does, but you can see it if you're looking. And then when you saw the results start to follow that, and even some of the ways that that change in his physicality has helped him in his mental approach at the plate and vice versa, it all just kind of came together.
Are we in a different era where, or perhaps we were never were here before, defensive positioning costing somebody on offense, like the burden of moving to shortstop and knowing that that's going to be your spot or having to play that high demand, or whether that's third or second base? You know, I go back to the 90s where you're reading all this stuff on Frank Thomas, and granted the difference between first and DH is different than those positions, but yeah, Frank even talked about how well he performed at one and not quite so the other. What do we know about the cost of being on that high end of the defensive spectrum and what it does to your offense?
Well, I think it's very different for every player. The studies do consistently tell us that a price is paid, you know, looking at the population as a whole for moving the defensive spectrum. Maybe you're just having to focus more attention on your defense. Maybe you're playing a position that requires more energy and you wear it out a little bit more. I think we even see that part with Javi.
Mm-hmm.
When he plays short every day at the plate, he needs a spell every now and then in a way that maybe he doesn't when he's playing second. But I do think in general that difference isn't maybe as pronounced as it was 40 years ago. There are fewer balls in play. Again, as you said, fielders are positioned strategically by their teams. It may take a little bit less out of you to play some of the elite defensive positions, but it's still definitely a concern. And in this day and age, finding a guy who can play those positions competently and still hit the way that Javi does is not much easier than it's ever been.
Is he just a unicorn, or is Baez showing baseball people, maybe people who draft and maybe people who develop talent, other ways to find value? If you have a guy who's great at tagging, or somebody who is spectacularly aggressive and often successful on the base paths, is there anything about the way he's developed and what we've learned about his game that other teams can say, all right, there we can enter an era of more Javier Baez-type players?
Yeah, well, I think his offensive success is in one way following a trend that's picked up across the league over the last few years. It's great when you have players who are taking rake guys, who can draw 100 walks and still hit for a lot of power and still make plenty of contact. But those guys are so rare, and I think players in Baez's mold where they can be exceptionally aggressive at the plate and still find a lot of success, and in fact that might be the optimal way for them to approach a plate appearance. I think we're seeing more guys trend in that direction over the last few years. And then in other areas, I do think he helps highlight for teams and, you know, even for other players, the different ways that you can get more value out of the things you do on the field. We saw right around the All-Star break, there was a survey in The Athletic asking who was the most overrated player in baseball. And Baez got a lot of votes, and there were some players saying he just does stupid things on the bases. And it's not like he never does, but I think players sometimes conflate aggressiveness with stupidity because that's the old way of baseball. What Baez is demonstrating really clearly is you can force teams into making mistakes. You can get an extra 90 feet here and there way more often than you think if you're an aggressive and obviously talented and smart base runner.
I'm wondering then, given the work you've done in taking a look at the changes Javi's made in his swing, and we've saw a little bit of a slump after the All-Star break from Javi. We saw the offensive numbers drop some. How would you tell opposing pitchers, you know, if you were GM in a team, how would you tell opposing pitchers to attack him? What do you expect that the changes back, the adjustment back to be against Javi?
I think they're still going to try attacking basically the same way. It's high fastballs and it's sliders low and away, because as much of an adjustment as he has made physically and that he can handle those a lot better now, even just when he's fooled. He is in this way a sort of a very cerebral hitter. He is guessing at a fairly high rate when he's up there at the plate. And that's not a knock. Guess hitter has been for too long a pejorative, but Ted Williams admitted that he was a guess hitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, Javi tries to outthink pitchers. He'll try and guess when even in a 2-1 count, he's going to get a slider or something, and he's going to jump all over it. I think pitchers, the only way to really get Baez out consistently is to execute your stuff and hope that he swings through it, because there's still a ton of swing and miss in this game. That's not going to go away. It's quieted down a bit as he's gotten rid of some of the counter movement that slowed down getting his bat into the zone. But he'll always swing and miss, so you always have a way to get him out. It's just he is in so much better position these days to take advantage whenever you make even a small mistake.
I wonder how he's going to age, because sometimes you get guys who play when you're 25 and you're completely elastic and immortal and you can play at that sort of arousal level where you can just keep expending that amount of energy and mental energy. And some people naturally just play baseball that way. I wonder if it takes a toll as you age. Is there any way of looking at players of whom he may remind you or certain aspects remind you and say, look, there comes a time where it's like you got to just chill out a little bit and preserve yourself?
Yeah, I think a lot of players have had to make those kinds of decisions over the years. And Baez will come to a point, if not so much with regard to self-preservation, that happens naturally or it doesn't. You know, you kind of get slowed down by the wear and tear your body takes, and eventually you stop hurling yourself after a ball because you know you can't get to it anymore. I think he'll continue to make changes at the plate, especially as some of that incredible bat and hand speed goes away on him. You'll probably see him become more selective. I don't want to say less aggressive, but more selective at the plate. He is a very thoughtful hitter. He's not going up there hacking at everything. It's just that aggressiveness is his mindset. And when he starts to realize that he's not able to drive balls the same way he can right now in a few years, I think you will be able to see him make some adjustments to his approach. That's not 100% impossible, although certainly there's a lot of muscle memory there. There's a lot of, you know, neurology to it that can't be changed. But Baez is in the right mental place when he's at the plate, and I think that'll help him adjust as his body slows down.
Talking with Matthew Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Trueblood. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. I'm wondering, Matt, what kind of choices do you think the Cubs make once that infield, well, let's say everybody, Jason Hayward included, everybody gets healthy and you're down the stretch and Addison Russell is back and Javi Baez is there and Daniel Murphy doesn't own a glove. And, you know,
take away his gloves.
Where do you start making choices and where do you figure Joe Maddon to start aligning some of these guys as you get into a postseason?
Well, the last few years, whenever possible, Maddon has had a fixed lineup once they get to the playoffs. But until then, and especially this year when they have so many good options that they can't really lose and the season has already taken something of a toll, I think down the stretch, you'll see him just continue rotating guys in and out really frequently. Whenever there's a good reason to make a change based on a matchup, he'll make it just to get the guy that he's switching out an extra day. Once they get to the playoffs, it certainly becomes trickier. I think you could see kind of a defense-first starting core. This hasn't usually been the way Maddon has done things, but he hasn't really had this array of options before. If they could start, you know, Chris Bryant, Addison Russell, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo across the infield. And then as the game goes on, maybe you spin Russell out for Daniel Murphy, who's going to be able to rake even against good relief pitchers late in the game and come up with huge hits. And you're going to have fewer balls in play once your starting pitcher gives way to relievers anyway. It might make sense to spin Baez to shortstop, you know, get Murphy into the game at that point. Or you can always slide Baez over to third and Chris Bryant out to the outfield if you feel a need to pinch hit at some point for a Kyle Schwarber, a Jason Hayward, someone that you don't want facing a same-handed pitcher in a big at-bat. The number of options is dizzying, and we'll see what they do, but for September, you're going to keep seeing Maddon rotate everybody because he wants everyone fresh and he wants more information about every guy who's on the roster for when they do get to October.
So, speaking of October, or at least more immediately, because we don't want to put the cart in front of the horse or anything, September, third to last series of the season, Matt, they play the White Sox at Guaranteed Rate Field, which means they get the designated hitter. I'm just wondering, it seems as though Kyle Schwarber, who would be the designated hitter almost always, he's put together a decent enough offensive season that I could see Daniel Murphy taking DH at bats instead of Schwarber. And granted, we don't know where Jason Hayward's going to end up, so that could throw the whole thing off to begin with. But you figure Kyle's good enough?
He's a better left fielder than Murphy is a second baseman. And it doesn't matter if you're good at defense in left field. It does matter if you're good at defense at second, right?
Yeah. If Addison Russell's healthy for that series, I think at least two out of the three games you should see, you know, Russell and Baez on the middle infield, Daniel Murphy at DH, and Schwarber in left. Schwarber's defense out there, he had a mental block that he had to climb over for a while. There was definitely a long learning curve moving off of catcher and becoming a full-time big league outfielder. But he's just not as bad as his most glaring mistakes often made on the biggest stages suggest to people. He doesn't need to be hidden at DH, and now that the Cubs have a guy who kind of does need to be hidden there, I think it should be a no-brainer to get him out in left field at least once or twice during that series.
All very good stuff. Matthew Trueblood, enjoyed your work. That breakdown of Javier Baez.
It's so good. It's really good. Go read it.
It's why people subscribe to Baseball Prospectus for stuff like that.
Thanks, guys.
Matthew Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus. If you want to follow him on Twitter, at M.A. Trueblood, he's brought to you by Subway. Check out three signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style of the turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste of the Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the buffalo chicken wrap. Subway. Make it what you want. Limited time only at participating locations. And the top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. They kick off their 25th anniversary season and defend their back-to-back Central Division titles on home ice on October 13th. You won't want to miss out on the special season. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. You mentioned the White Sox.
Yes. A couple of things from those boys on the South Side last night. Some real interesting work from Lucas Giolito. And there's somebody else in that pitching staff or that bullpen that we may have to talk about as well. There's been changes. There's been changes in the performance. It's been noted. Also, before we get to that and to the break, I should note that the Trueblood piece that we're talking about, I'm almost positive here. I am not logged into my BP account, so this one is out from behind the paywall. You can go read it and sample it, regardless whether you're subscribed or not. We'll get into some of the White Sox success when we come back.
And we have to give out the Mastroli Award.
We have to hand out the final Mastroli Award as well. We thought we'd have cuts at some point today, so we kind of thought we'd pair it with that, but we haven't had anything leak from Halas Hall.
Not yet, because it'd be kind of unfair if all of a sudden a guy gets cut and then afterwards he's given the Mastroli Award. That's Pyrrhic victory, to say the least.
A bit of a pick-me-up, though, too.
Well,
looking
of course.
For other jobs.
Hey, Mom, hey, I don't have a job.
I know
you've got to
be on the phone with your agent for the next 3 hours, but here's your Mastroli.
All right, that's all coming up between now and 1 o'clock on The Score.
Saturdays at 8 a.m. Don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole.
The Achilles, I mean, I think you got to go on the record as saying a minimum of 6 to 8 months, and I would bet that it takes at least a year to get your athleticism back and your pre-injury level of play.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m. here on 670 The Score.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Say this for those running the college football playoff. They may be too forgiving, see Smith Gene, but they're smart. Yesterday, they announced the schedule for the three playoff games and the three New Year's Six Bowls through the 2025-2026 season. On one hand, this makes sense because that's how long the amazingly lucrative TV contract lasts, but it's more significant than that. In the wake of last year's Central Florida controversy, there have been more voices raised saying the playoff should be expanded to 6 or 8 teams. The presidents and commissioners don't want that because, God forbid, a team like UCF should get into the playoff and win a game or two. Bad enough, UCF beat Auburn, which defeated the two teams that played for the national title, in last year's Peach Bowl. The schedule announcement sends a clear message. This is a 4-team playoff. No non-Power 5 schools need apply. Period. I'm John Feinstein.
This isn't a commercial. We're not trying to sell you anything. It's actually far more important. Deaths on Illinois roadways due to drunk or buzzed drivers are on the rise. Each year in Illinois, over 300 people die in drunk driving crashes. That means everyone you know, including yourself, are at risk. And it's up to you to choose life or death. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com.
I lived in Grays Lake, and I have sold and moved out of the state.
Billy V is a union employee. He left Illinois because he couldn't afford to pay $9,000 a year in property taxes on his $200,000 townhome in Grays Lake. Tony S.'s home in Park Ridge is being liquidated by the government to pay for someone else's pension.
I'm paying between $13,000 and $14,000 a year in property taxes, which is insane. I can't save for my retirement. They're basically stealing my equity from me.
Rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, you will not be spared the financial disaster the highest property taxes in the nation inflict. The good news is there's a group of independent candidates who aren't financed by Madigan or Rauner. They're working people taking up our fight to lower your property taxes. They made a life in Illinois, and the hell if they're going to let politicians take it away. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org for information on the candidates leading the revolt. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org to hear your neighbor's stories and share your own. SaveYourHomeNow.org isn't just a website. It's a battle cry.
Liberty Principles paid for this ad and is solely responsible for its content, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
The award-winning Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy is now offering their all-new mobile app. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and search Bolingbrook Golf Club. You'll have access to a mobile scorecard, GPS, or book tee times. Fall is a great time to tee it up. Make your plans to join them for the Senior Better Ball on October 1st and the Fall Scramble on October 20th. For more information and tee times, visit bolingbrookgolfclub.com or visit teeoff.com. The Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy. Come be impressed.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Labor Day sale at Ace, which means it's the perfect time to buy a grill from our exclusive lineup of premium brands, including Weber, Traeger, and more. Right now, get the right grill at the right price, delivered right to your door. Now through Labor Day, hurry in and save $50 on select Weber Spirit grills. Plus, get free assembly and delivery on any grill $3.99 and up, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only through September 3rd. Store stock only. See participating store for scheduling and details.
Hey, hey, it's Flo. And you know what word I've never understood? Top hat. Aren't all hats on top? They're like the toppest part of every outfit. Unless I've been doing it wrong. That's why I stick with simple words like flotection. It means the sense of security you'll feel when your new home is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. Also, there shouldn't be a top hat unless there's a bottom hat. Wait, is that what underwear is?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Love a good deal? Sail into the season at Banana Republic Factory's Mega Labor Day Sale. Entire store 50 to 70% off. Dresses from $19.99, polos from $14.99. It's insane! Grab your friends. Banana Republic Factory. See you there.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family has big plans for Labor Day weekend, but our outfits aren't measuring up.
Then get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's huge Labor Day sale is on now. Get 50% off all jeans, 50% off all dresses, 50% off all tees, and 50% off all sweatshirts and hoodies for the whole family.
50% off all those styles? That's a big deal.
So is this. Styles start at just $6 at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
Change of plans. We're spending the weekend at Old Navy.
High Fashion. Old Navy. Valid 8:30 to 9:30. Excludes in-store clearance. Active licensed and men's package tees.
It's the two megastars summer mashup, the awesome iPhone, on the Rockstar Metro PCS Network. Get the iPhone you've always wanted for $0, so you can jam without limits.
It's a hit. Get an iPhone SE on us when you switch. Metro PCS.
Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax and $10 activation fee. Requires port in of number not currently active on T-Mobile Network or on Metro PCS in past 90 days to an unlimited LTE plan. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Working from home is kind of my thing. And since I switched to a wireless plan from AT&T, I get reliable home internet on them. So you won't find me stuck in traffic or crammed on the L, but you might find me video conferencing with New York in a cleanly pressed shirt and my boxers. Because my wireless plan helps me be more productive at work, even when I'm technically at home and likely pantsless.
Come into an AT&T store and find out how you can get home internet on us. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Limited Chicago offer. See store for details.
While supplies last.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Your Ken Mastrolli Award winner is Duran Grant.
Here's a throw to the right side. And left side is picked off. Duran Grant on his horse. Goodbye, touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Sat out and picked it. Little stun up front. And McCarron's picked off. Duran Grant to the house.
Congratulations, Duran Grant.
How many things have we gotten wrong?
We did Javon Wims twice, so that's, you know, we're good there.
Yep. Duran Grant,
See, Metabolic was good to go.
We don't know who you are or what you do, but your pick six has won you a Mistroli Award.
Congratulations. It was beautiful. It was beautiful pick. Stepped right in front of the ball, ran that thing all the way back.
You'll always have that.
It's gorgeous.
And T-Med did the ball up for him, didn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right? So we get they'll paint one of the panels white, they'll write the date on there, then you know, it didn't count really because it wasn't a real game, but for the purposes of the Mistroli Award.
Oh, that's a real Mistroli Award.
Pure glory.
Yeah, absolutely it was. I watched a lot of that game.
I didn't want to listen to much of that game.
No, neither did I.
Oh my God.
Kind of wish I hadn't watched as much of that game as I did.
That's it. By the way, if that was, I admire the experiment. I admire the guts. Experiment over.
Trust the pace.
Now that whatever, put that back in the, fold it up.
I don't know.
Put it back in the box.
The formula, maybe.
Light the box on fire.
Just change the variables.
Stomp on the box.
There is the brain maker.
Maybe some coefficients need changing. I liked the idea of doing something different
from
the broadcast. However, you have Adam Amin available to you.
Maybe not. He's got
college
football.
Well, I'm just saying in general, you have Adam Amin available to you for three preseason games next year. I assume that fourth one he'll be back to college football. I wouldn't change that part of the formula.
There's no better reason to go to two preseason games then.
Hang out with Adam Amin.
We're going to have the party booth. Yeah, no.
I'm fired up. Are you fired up?
No.
So fired up.
No.
So fired up for you right now.
It's the final preseason game.
Hey, you fired up?
Now, if Jim Irsay's doing games, I'd
watch.
In.
Yeah, that I'd watch.
Give him, just mic him up and have him watch whatever he's watching.
Not tell him who anyone is. Restrict information from him. Like, don't even give him a press guide or anything like that. Just have him figure it out as he goes.
An NFL owner is Otto the school bus driver. Think about that.
I think he's Bill Walsh.
You mean
Steve Walsh? I think he's both Walshes
Joe
combined.
Walsh?
No, Joe Walsh. I think he's all Walshes combined.
What's up, man?
I think he's so Walsh he doesn't know which Walsh he is.
Seriously,
it's all of the drugs and all of the Walshes.
Otto,
I was thinking about this the other night. Really, I was he's all of it combined and has no idea. You don't like you. He starts talking. And you don't know which is going to come out of him, and neither does he.
Hey, Quentin.
Because he thinks he's Bill Walsh. He thinks he's Joe Walsh. He's probably more like Joe Walsh.
Closer to Joe Walsh than Bill Walsh.
He has no idea.
On the Walsh continuum.
All of these things combined into one sort of drug-addled, oxied-up thing.
Now, you had White Sox thoughts that I think are valid.
Well, they're at least a little bit more clear than that was. Mike Petriello was and he writes for MLB.com. He's formerly of FanGraphs and Prospectus. One of the smart dudes out there. But I'm watching Lucas Giolito last night, you know, flipping around through some things. And I noticed that looked like the Lucas Giolito you wanted it to look like. Granted, the velocity's at 93 and 94. We've talked a bit about how 99, you know, the guy at 19 wasn't coming around that fastball. But looking at the scores of some of the stuff, he had 9 swings and misses on change-ups. He went through a Boston Red Sox lineup that has absolutely murdered people throughout the whole season. That was an incredible performance by him, a really impressive one. And apparently, things have really come around for Lucas over the last month, even though sometimes when he's working himself out of jams, it might not feel like it. Petriello wrote a piece on MLB.com today, and it's 10 reasons why the surging White Sox are interesting, and it includes their 16-12 record in August. Here's some of the headlines. Michael Kopech figured out how to stop walking anybody. Adam Engel has become an elite defensive outfielder. Daniel Polka is an exit velocity hero.
And an elite defensive outfielder.
Yeah. Jose Rondon might actually be worth watching.
Not elite.
Omar Narvaez has quietly become one of baseball's better hitting catchers. That's something we're going to have to look into probably next week.
However, that is a statement about the quality of offense among catchers in all of baseball.
Look at Omar's numbers, and I think it would be less damning with faint praise than you may think. Especially considering the way his season started. And Eloy Jimenez is looming, hopefully looming very, very soon. Here's the two headlines I left out, because these are the ones that I was kind of watching for last night. Lucas Giolito has become one of the better uptick guys in this last month. He's added a ton of velocity. His four-seam fastball averaged 91 in April, but it's up to 93.5 in August. Amongst all pitchers who threw 100 four-seamers in both months, only 3, Mike Fiers, Matthew Boyd, and Cole Hamels, have had a bigger increase in velocity. Giolito's changeup is moving more, and we saw that last night. The thing was gross. In April, May, and June, his change had about 7 inches of horizontal movement. In August, it's over 13.
Wow.
Which is a tremendous in-season change, he writes. It's interesting to have watched him struggle the way he has, walk as many hitters as he did early on in this season. But as you start to throw guys together, pieces together, the rebuild itself will look different as we go. But part of it was having Lucas Giolito in and a big part of a major league rotation. This guy looks like he could be a 3 or a 2. This guy looks like, especially if he gets deeper into ball games, like a guy you can really depend on. This month of August has been huge for him and this team.
Omar Narvaez has a 356 weighted on base average.
I told you. I mean, it has been a thing. Four and a half months.
And did you know that by wins above replacement, he's the 7th best catcher in baseball?
I didn't know it was 7th best, but it kind of felt like it.
That's amazing.
You'd like his framing to get a little bit better. You'd like him to help out his pitchers a little bit more for what it's worth, for what that's worth specifically. But yeah, that guy's figured out how to hit. I mean, he always had a good eye.
His WRC plus is 127. So if we rank current catchers in WRC plus, and this is guys who have played some only a handful of games here. Like Wilson Ramos has played 80. I mean, he's at 138. The guy in Reds, this Kurt Casale, is at 135. Francisco Cervelli's 131. JT Realmuto, 128. Over Omar Narvaez, 127.
There you go.
Wow.
Watch the White Sox.
Wilson Contreras is only 110.
Speaking of, There's one more headline I left off of this. And last night, Sox fans, you know, kind of felt it with the lead going away completely as you went to Thiago Vieira and other relievers who weren't this guy. It got away.
Not fun.
That Red Sox lineup that had been stymied by Lucas Giolito for the 6 1/3 that he went, they got to eat off a bullpen that wasn't quite there. But notably absent from the relievers that worked last night for the White Sox was Jace Fry, a 2-time Tommy John guy. So he's working with his third. Jace Fry is a top 15 reliever. Done. End. I mean, there don't have to be caveats here, but there can be. Jace Fry is technically still a rookie, though he came up last season and pitched a little bit and got himself lit up. He went to the fall league last year, and I watched him pitch there. I talked to him a little bit, and just having that confidence of really knowing he was going to have a job was a big thing for him. But also, you know, putting in a cutter that looks a little bit different than the one he'd had. The guy's striking out 12.8 per nine. The guy has 3 walks per nine, which sure is a little high, but he's only allowing 0.4 homers per nine. I mean, Jace Fry has turned into a top 15, a borderline elite type reliever.
It's too bad you couldn't trade him at the deadline.
Well, I mean,
right?
He's a rookie. You might actually hang on to a guy like that. Remember how the White Sox found
it's
three of the
season.
Best relievers
it's
in
hard to yes, sustain.
No, for sure. But you look at the background on Fry. First of all, just the fact that he's a 2-time Tommy John guy coming around and doing this. That's incredible in and of its own. That's a story somebody ought to go write. If you've got a lefty like this who throws at the velocity that he does, something you can hang on to, that's a fairly interesting piece of this development too. You know, a lot of people talked about Zach Birdie and the velocity that he was going to deliver you. Tommy John, for him, he's going to go play in the fall league. But you're going to find guys like this throughout your rebuild, whether it's Jace Fry or somebody else. Guys who didn't have, you know, the top 100 prospect ranking that feature in a rebuild and that means something later on. Jace Fry's been certainly an interesting dude to watch and been a lot of fun to watch him pitch.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Also, so when we're looking at relievers, when we had talked before about that grouping of Cubs pitchers, it was Steve Cishek, who's been remarkable, C.J. Edwards, and Pedro Strop. Have you been paying attention to what Justin Wilson has been doing lately?
Yeah, stranding every base runner he's had.
I believe he's leading the league in inherited runners, the lack of success of inherited runners scoring.
If he's not, he's on the best active run of it. I can't remember which way it was. But yeah, he's slowly getting himself around that circle of trust. You can see the circle of trust Joe Maddon usually establishes this time of year.
He better be in it. I mean, this is a large circle of trust because with Jesse Chavez has been doing is just there's a lot of found money. We thought it was Randy Rosario who found money early, but This is, I mean, I knew C-Sheck was good. I didn't think that he was this effective in the funky way that he is.
Well, being as reliable as he,
yep.
Well, maybe not reliable, but consistent. You know, a guy that goes out there and gives you the innings, the multiple outs. He can go sit down and get back up and pitch some too. It's been a huge part for Joe this season.
He's been, he's helped, like you say, and I think the phrase that you used was, it's been that group of reliable relievers that has been the extension of your bad starts.
Yeah.
That's where you've bridged the gap of a completely underwhelming, well, for them, recent historically bad starting staff that finally is starting to rebound a little bit now, thanks to Cole Hamels and some better performances. But it was trending in a direction that you thought this might be the Achilles heel of an otherwise terrific team. And the fact that they were able to stanch that bleeding was in large part due to the bullpen keeping them in games, allowing them to have so many comeback wins.
And it's Quintana tonight. Kopech, by the way, for the White Sox.
Kopech, how long do we get to keep declaring it Kopech night? Is it for this whole season? Or is it every night?
Start. Yeah. Okay. How are you? Yeah. No, we decided this. We were in a meeting. We all of us decided this.
All right.
We got t-shirts made.
All right.
Tattoos.
Until the stuff is not that stuff anymore, it's Kopech Day.
Definitely willing to win. It is a Kopech Day. Quintana, I'm listening in Joe's updates that he hasn't gone more than five in each of his last three starts. Looking for a little bit more depth from him. As that rotation solidifies, you hope that Quintana is one of the guys that comes around with it, because just if they're going to go, and we talked to Theo Epstein yesterday about it, he's confident they're going to go back to a five-man rotation. They're good to go. Alec Mills was there for two and effective in one and hung around in the second. Jose Quintana has a gas pedal to press now, right? I mean, he's got a job to go do.
Yeah, you'd think that this is kind of why, right? You know, these are the times, these are the starts, these are the steady veteran presence.
Why stands for yours. That's your vision.
Quality starts every time. Just get the quality start. Get me six and three earned or fewer.
Yeah, and I don't know if it feels like you've moved that far down the line in the road trip, but, you know, it's just one game yesterday. Even though you're changing cities, it's one game, it's the Braves. I mean, you still have, what, it's 10 left on the road all together, and then three at home? Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's a couple against the Phillies, Milwaukee, and then the Nationals, and then three at home against the Brewers. That finishes off your 23-game stretch this late in the season, which, notably, Theo was kind of perturbed about when we mentioned it on the interview yesterday, too. You just don't see a 23-game stretch like this late in the season. I can't imagine anybody in his position would be happy about having to make that schedule work. But that's where the rainouts put you
early
this year.
Choice.
No, I mean, there was no other way to do it.
There was never a first month or first 6 weeks of the season weather-wise like we saw this year.
No.
And at some point, you run out of days, and you know all these games matter. It's just the what the Brewers and the Cardinals are doing is keeping things. You figure you're going to go on a 7 out of 10 run and you'll put some distance in there, and it's just still not happening because of the Cardinals' change in atmosphere. Because
which matters.
Changes in latitude, changes in atmosphere. Get idiot out of dugout. Oh, we had an idiot in the dugout. We remove the idiot, and suddenly the baseball team is better.
There's been some other things.
Yes,
Dexter Fowler hitting the D. Harrison Bader playing like he has been important for them. But you mentioned the rainouts early in the season. Did you read the Jeff Passan piece that came out, was it 2-3 days ago, earlier this week? He had written one after all the weather socked a bunch of games, right? And how the attendance was as down as it was. Gates just weren't, you know, turnstiles weren't flipping the way they used to. Apparently that trend, the lack of attendance in Major League Baseball, has not abated. The fact that there's not enough people sitting in seats and going to watch these games. And it's causing a certain amount of, I don't think he said alarm, but consternation amongst Major League Baseball, the wonks up there in the front offices individually throughout their, you know, little fiefdoms around town. That's a real thing, I guess. It has, you know, panned out throughout the rest of the season that despite the rainouts and the bad weather and the kind of built-in excuses that were reasonable for Major League Baseball early in the year, it's not fixed itself.
Yeah, not to globalize too much, but the larger discussion, maybe for another time, is the whole going to sporting events thing.
Yeah.
that there are where you are in your life or how much disposable income, discretionary income you might have, that we might be at a point. And we talked about this with the Oakland A's and the dynamic pricing model that they're doing and what's happening with concession prices and how they're trying to make sure, hey, NIU. You know, paying students to go to games.
I mean, that's a little different economically speaking because students have other things to do. But
look at what Cubs tickets cost. Look at what Red Sox tickets cost and Dodgers tickets cost. Look at just the face values. You know, for somebody who loves to go to baseball games, you've got to really pick your spots. You've got to go when it's cold in April. You've got to go on Tuesday nights. You've got to go to White Sox games you wouldn't otherwise go to when you can get stuff at SeatGeek and StubHub. You know, it is the model and the quality of our televisions. I was talking about that. And the fact that we have no time in our lives because of gig economies and everything else that people are working multiple jobs to stay afloat, that the larger forces at work here might be pushing the bigger sports attendance issues to some sort of reckoning, to some sort of reconciliation point about what it's reasonable to ask normal people to do with their lives.
Yeah, economically speaking, yes, but it's not as though any of these leagues are hurting for money.
I'm not saying they are.
You know, so I just wonder what they're willing to stomach then if the checks they can write are as big as they can write. For the NFL, for instance.
How many people were at the Bears game last night?
I had no idea. I didn't look.
It didn't look, and they did try to stay away from the distant
crowd
establishment shots.
From the long shot.
Or there's this super tight shot of like five really gross looking people.
We found them.
Yeah, why is it at these games?
Only five?
But are people uglier at exhibition games?
Oh, come on.
It just seems that way to me. Every time, so it was across the NFL. I don't know why it is. We have to figure out, they're letting in like moon men or something. I don't know. It just, people are more strange looking at exhibition games.
I mean, nobody from here was there, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Not even Shane?
None of us.
Shane,
I find my Shane hasn't been working this week.
Oh, it's buggy.
I meant to tell you, I didn't want to alarm anyone. I thought it would be better to just have everyone go through their week thinking that Find My Shane was up and going.
I didn't know. There's a website that tracks whether or not it's up or down.
Yeah.
It's like, is Find My Shane up?
We just put yes up all day just because we felt that was safer. We didn't want to alarm everybody. We thought the panic about knowing Shane couldn't be found was not worth the actual update of the app. Sure. Have we made mistakes? Yes. Are we Facebook? No, not exactly. We're hoping to get things back on track.
You are going to be called in front of a congressional subcommittee.
And I will just nod along. Yep, How do we pay for things? We have ads on the
website. I found with him that if you just kind of ignore the yelling and the social media posts, that he's kind of like one of those passive-aggressive animals, that as long as you don't bother him and you just kind of ignore his existence, sometimes he'll just leave you alone.
Yeah, but I lost you at ignore the social media post, because that's really the only place he actually exists.
Oh, right? Yeah, it turns out that's not true. Yeah, given the data we've gotten at findmyshane.com, it turns out he does exist in a lot of places.
The 224 says Biggs or Hub said there were about 15,000 people there.
Mm.
Okay. And how many of them were strange looking? Something weird is happening during regular season games. I mean, it's generally football fans, you know. But you gotta
dress up for the thing anyway. I mean, during the regular season, if you're gonna go out there in November, you've got to wear nine layers of
clothing.
Maybe
that's what it is. We just see more of people when the weather is warmer. Is that what it is? That they're not as bundled?
It's an interesting theory. I mean, look, you baseball crowds who are all out there wearing tons of, you know, skin shirts and tank tops and mesh
with
everything.
Horrible neck tattoos.
You
and everything.
See that at baseball crowds every now and again. You're allowed to go do that. You can look however you want.
All right, we're tracking any Bears cuts that we figured would be rolling in because the agents want them usually shortly after the last exhibition game. The deadline is 3:00 tomorrow. Is that right? 3:00 tomorrow,
yes.
Our time is the deadline. But I'm surprised that we have not seen names.
You gotta go from
yet.
90 to 53. That's a lot of work to do. I kind of figured that would be over the next 24 hours. Turns out not so much.
And then at the top of the hour, it is going to be your Friday afternoon ride with Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins here on The Score.
Game one of the 2018 season is approaching, and the score continues to follow the progress of Matt Nagy's new-look Bears with the latest from Halas Hall and the practice field, including breaking news and daily live Bears reports.
We're still growing. Like I said, we're trying to get better every single day. So the more reps I get with these new guys within this new offense, we're still all learning. But we're getting there. We're getting closer and closer.
Football season is almost here. Get ready with us on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Are you tired of seeing your credit card balances increase month after month after month? Well, you're not alone. According to a recent CNBC report, consumer debt is scheduled to reach $4 trillion. That's right, $4 trillion by the end of 2018. Summer vacations, day camp, sports camp, overnight camp, trips to see grandma, and back to school supplies. Sound expensively familiar? Well, the bad news is there isn't a money fairy that's going to make your credit card debt disappear. But the good news is home values have increased substantially, and Team Hochberg can help you consolidate your credit card debt with a cash-out refinance and substantially lower your monthly payments. This isn't the first, the 100th, or the 1,000th time you've heard a Team Hochberg advertisement encouraging you to refinance. So what are you waiting for? Stop procrastinating. Pick up the phone and call Team Hochberg now, 312-751-1333. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners. They can't help if you don't call. 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee 4358, NMLS.
Love a good deal? Sail into the season at Banana Republic Factory's Mega Labor Day Sale. Entire store 50 to 70% off. Dresses from $19.99, polos from $14.99. It's insane! Grab your friends. Banana Republic Factory. See you there.
Hi, I'm Michelle Smith, two-time Olympic gold medalist and ESPN analyst. Only 41% of women college teams are coached by women, and the numbers are even lower at the youth level. Female coaches made an incredible impact on me. That's why I'm passionate about helping women level the playing field. We Coach is a nonprofit focused on building a community of female coaches of all sports and levels. Through programming, resources, and support, we're helping change the profession. Visit WeCoachSports.org to get involved.
Illinois property taxes punish the most vulnerable the most, like widow Mary Pay.
They just keep on going up and up, so that means my mortgage payment goes up, and it's kind of hard. What are they doing for us? Nothing.
66-year-old Chicago resident Linda Jay had to take a second job just to pay her property taxes.
Mine is $7,000 a year. If I wasn't still working, I'd be screwed. Even at retirement age, I'm getting my Social Security, but I still have to work, and I'm working two jobs.
Rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, you will not be spared the financial disaster the highest property taxes in the nation inflict. The good news is there's a group of independent candidates who aren't financed by Madigan or Rauner. They're working people, taking up our fight to lower your property taxes. They made a life in Illinois, and the hell if they're going to let politicians take it away. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org for information on the candidates leading the revolt. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org to hear your neighbor's stories and share your own. SaveYourHomeNow.org isn't just a website. It's a battle cry.
Liberty Principles paid for this ad and is solely responsible for its content, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. When it comes to business lending, we're all about finding solutions. I'm here with Brian Vanderwall of Vanderwall & Associates. We help Brian secure long-term SBA financing for both real estate and operating capital.
The Byline Small Business Capital team was able to provide me the opportunity to be more creative and branch out into more markets because I had the proper financing mechanism. Instead of looking at our assets as a service business, the Byline Small Business Capital team looked at our cash flow, looked at our projections, and really saw the need to grow. I think the decision-making process was quite amazing how fast it happened. They asked for all the right information of a small business, analyzed it quickly, had the leadership to make quick decisions. And that's not typical for a lender.
Byline Bank. We make it personal and listen to what matters to you. On the web at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
This isn't a commercial. We're not trying to sell you anything. It's actually far more important. Deaths on Illinois roadways due to drunk or buzzed drivers are on the rise. Each year in Illinois, over 300 people die in drunk driving crashes. That means everyone you know, including yourself, are at risk. And it's up to you to choose life or death. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com.
The award-winning Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy is now offering their all-new mobile app. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and search Bolingbrook Golf Club. You'll have access to a mobile scorecard, GPS, or book tee times. Fall is a great time to tee it up. Make your plans to join them for the Senior Better Ball on October 1st and the Fall Scramble on October 20th. For more information and tee times, visit bolingbrookgolfclub.com or visit teeoff.com. The Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy. Come be impressed.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Labor Day sale at Ace, which means it's the perfect time to buy a grill from our exclusive lineup of premium brands, including Weber, Traeger, and more. Right now, get the right grill at the right price, delivered right to your door. Now through Labor Day, hurry in and save $50 on select Weber Spirit grills. Plus, get free assembly and delivery on any grill $3.99 and up, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only through September 3rd. Store stock only. See participating store for scheduling and details.
TTL and Doc.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
If this is the way it's going to be, I come on the air with a 20-point lead and we lose by one. It's been nice knowing you guys.
It's only the preseason, but we do appreciate it. We look forward to the regular season and look forward to great things here moving forward.
Really enjoyed it, and go Bears.
Go Bears.
Yeah, the timing.
And when you have George McCaskey in there and the other team just marching up and down the field and scoring. And it was, as A.J. McCarron said, legendary.
I think it's possible my favorite thing from that evening's game was Matt Nagy getting up there, speaking to reporters, and just seeing, clearly seeing how little he gave a damn about how that thing
ended. Why should he? You can't be mad at him.
Of course he didn't. He's thrilled that his first preseason is over. He couldn't be more excited about heading into Green Bay. I mean, he didn't give a damn. Not one damn. Which was nice. It's good to see.
The 219. You asked the question, are people uglier at preseason games? God, you are an idiot. What an effing jerk. Well, look, then just stop going to preseason games and finding yourself on television then. You know, if the shoe fits, what can I say?
This is when I would whisper into the microphone that he's kidding. I don't know that you are, and you could be a jerk.
I don't know. It's just, I've been to plenty of preseason games. I've been to way too many as a reporter and way too many as a fan.
Did you wear your ugly mask when you went as a fan?
With the season tickets, I loved them. I remember the one...
Preseason games?
Yes, because there was nobody there and no lines for anything.
Oh.
I don't know. We would just go. My cousin and I would go down there.
Oh, okay. So we're talking young Dan.
Yes, but remember, I was also such a meatball Bears nerd that I would bring the rosters. We used to go to Platteville as fans and watch practices.
I've heard this. And apparently, back in the day, there's a whole thing.
Yeah, we'd cut the roster down. We would debate the seventh and eighth wide receivers. And seriously, no, I was a huge, ridiculous, insane Bears fan at that point. And then we would go to preseason games because we wanted to watch them. And happened to be there at the big Cardinals fight game. I am surprised that nobody's written like an oral history or a retrospective of the brawl between the Bears and the Cardinals.
Really?
It was bad. Like it looked like a battle royal UFC thing.
Like people going for weapons?
Body,
like swinging helmets? Like that Miami game a couple years ago?
Look it up. I don't know. Has anybody ever written like a definitive? People have done Disco Demolition. It was a big deal. A big deal between the Bears and the Cardinals. They were throwing people around.
86?
Yes, sounds right. And William Perry was right in the middle
of
it.
Some YouTube video.
Is there? I mean, like, seriously.
Yeah, there's 10 minutes of YouTube on this.
Yeah, it was crazy.
All right, here we go. Setting up.
If it happened now, it would be national news for a week. It would feed all of the debate shows and everything forever. You'd have, stuff would get into federal court.
A little bit of late hit.
Eric at home wrote it up 8 days ago.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
On the 32nd anniversary.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
This is getting ugly.
Asked and answered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were right there.
Haymakers.
You probably see us on there.
Oh, this is... Oh, it's not going to stop either. Yeah. Van Horn's going back in for more. Yep, there he goes.
Yep, it was...
This is bad.
It was really bad.
All right. Meanwhile, speaking of roster cutdowns, texter from the 847.
It's not the Uber driver, is it?
No, not the Uber driver. Right. No, although he has not texted since he had the first one this morning.
Right.
I don't know if he's not gotten back or whatever. I'd like to know how everyone already puts Kevin White on the 53-man roster. I think Javon Wims outplayed him and every other receiver in the NFL. Kevin White proved nothing to be a lock on the 53. If that's your opinion of Kevin White, that's cool. I think there's a jury still out, to be sure. But everyone's got him on the 53-man roster because given the way he's played and not played, given the way that Matt Nagy has talked about him and given the way the things have shaped up, he's on the roster. That's why everyone's putting him there, that the Bears have him on the roster. They're keeping him. He's going to be on that roster. It would be a shock to everyone who covers that team, Kevin White, if he's not on that roster.
This sounds like what we were talking about earlier when I asked Rich Campbell about Joel Iyabiniwe and John Timu.
Yeah.
And he said Timu would be the toughest cut because he's been the better player, but they keep Iyabiniwe because he's the draft pick and they are invested in him.
I struggle.
Well, there was a texter that asked, is that what the Patriots would do? Your pride in your draft pick. Is that the right thing? Now, I think the answer is John Timu is John Timu, is always going to be John Timu, and will never be more than John Timu. And right now, yes, he had the better camp, but it still might be the right thing to keep Iyabiniwe because of what you still envision him to be because of why and your rationale for drafting him. It's not the fact that he's a draft pick. It's that you drafted him. You still see those things in him for which he was drafted.
I think pride's a little bit misleading there, right, though, using it the way you did. I think if it were a draft pick from 3 years ago that you're holding on to because I drafted him, there's some pride there. Iyabiniwe was drafted 5 months ago. There's still upside to him. Think about it like, you know, high floor, low ceiling versus high ceiling guy. You know, like you said, you know what John Timu is. He's not going to get much better. You've got a chance to swing and hit home runs with Joel Iyabiniwe. At least that's why you drafted him. That's the proof you put in there. It would be different if this was a draft pick from 3 years ago. It would be different, quite frankly, if we're talking about Kevin White. Matter of fact is, they don't have enough wide receivers up and down this list to cut Kevin White the way he's played.
And my point is, it's harder to insist that you see now what you saw then in Kevin White. You can still do it with a fourth-round guy you just drafted, but after multiple bone fractures and an insertion of a metal rod, and you can't just say, well, yeah, that guy that we drafted out of West Virginia is still in there.
But isn't it fair to also say that the internal expectations have pretty clearly changed on Kevin White, too?
Yes.
I mean, they dropped his fifth-year option. You understand what he's going to be asked to do in that offense, at least it seems that way. And they still feel there's some value, or maybe a lot of value, in him doing what he can do as opposed to letting him go and walk.
When we come back, Danielle and Danny Parkins will grace the airwaves on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
And we're here.
Grandpa?
Alamo Shoes. I noticed your shoes are a little tight. They have hard-to-fit shoe sizes and the nicest people to find just the right pair.
Alamo Shoes?
Yeah, this place brings back memories. I used to take your dad here when he was a kid for his shoes. In fact, your dad still comes here.
Alamo Shoes. The most comfortable shoes on earth have been found here for the past 50 years. They're family-owned and will treat you like family, too. Find Alamo Shoes at 5321 North Clark, and there is always free parking.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Save money on your car insurance by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Hey, is it always this cold in here? It doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me a bit. I just kind of curious, because if it's the equipment or something, that's fine. It's just, woo, it's kind of chilly.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The award-winning Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy is now offering their all-new mobile app. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and search Bolingbrook Golf Club. You'll have access to a mobile scorecard, GPS, or book tee times. Fall is a great time to tee it up. Make your plans to join them for the Senior Better Ball on October 1st and the Fall Scramble on October 20th.
For more information and tee times, visit BolingbrookGolfClub.com or visit teeoff.com. The Bolingbrook Golf Club and Academy. Come be impressed.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Labor Day sale at Ace, which means it's the perfect time to buy a grill from our exclusive lineup of premium brands, including Weber, Traeger, and more. Right now, get the right grill at the right price, delivered right to your door. Now through Labor Day, hurry in and save $50 on select Weber Spirit grills. Plus, get free assembly and delivery on any grill $3.99 and up, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only through September 3rd. Store stock only. See participating store for scheduling and details.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Buying a home should be one of life's best experiences, but today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments. And that can turn a great experience into an anxious one. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. It's called the Power Buying Process. We check your income, assets, and credit to provide you with a verified approval, which can give you the strength of a cash buyer. Once verified, you qualify for our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock